At Capella University, you'll get support from people who care about your success. From before you enroll to after you graduate, pursue your goals knowing help is available when you need it. Imagine your future differently at capella.edu.
I am so excited that for 2024, Your Brand Amplified is proudly sponsored by one of my favorite platforms, Simplified. This AI-driven platform is a game changer for design and video content. With Simplified, I can effortlessly transform lengthy videos, such as my podcast, into engaging, shareable clips and streamline workflows with an intuitive subtitle generator. For designers out there, you can explore the AI-powered image generator, create compelling presentations, and design eye-catching YouTube thumbnails with ease. Revolutionize your creative process at simplified.com with a free trial. Now let's dive into today's guest.
Welcome to Your Brand Amplified, the podcast where we interview marketers, publicists, and brands to learn their stories, what makes them tick, and tips and tricks that make a difference.
This is Annika Jackson, and today I am here with Amber Furman. I was telling Amber before we jumped on, I love what her bio says, which is that she's a recovering perfectionist and serial accomplisher. And I resonate with that so deeply. So Amber, thank you for being here. You do so many things. You wear so many hats. So I'd love to start with your story and your journey, because you started out as an attorney, which you still practice. But how did that career lead to your podcast, writing a book, helping other people with success strategies, all of the other wonderful things that you're doing?
Yeah, thank you so much for having me on, first of all. I'm so excited to have this conversation with you. You know, it's interesting because I think in the world that we're in right now, where the start with why mentality is so big and important, and the decisions of how we ended up where we're at are always driving conversations. I would always get asked, why did you decide to go to law school? And I never really had an answer for that. And I felt like there was something wrong with me for not having an answer for that. Oh. We are often, well, always, because we're talked to as kids from a very young age, what do you want to be when you grow up? What do you want to do when you grow up? That if you don't have these dreams and this lifelong goal by the time you're like nine and in second grade, then there's something wrong, right? And so for me, how I became an attorney was more a trauma response than it was an actual goal. And I didn't realize that at the time. To me, being an attorney was supposed to be that thing that my brain had created that was going to take away any discomfort or unworthiness or unhappiness that I had in my life. So that shift happened when I reached the height of my legal career and nothing changed. And I still felt the same and I was still the same person. And I had to start doing that reflective internal work that so many of us avoid that had I done initially, I very well may not have ended up as an attorney. And so it's kind of that double-edged sword. Wow. I'm so thankful for my experiences and I love what being an attorney has brought me, the doors that it opens for me, having a law degree, the things that I learned and the skills that I have. And also there's some sort of freedom attached to it, knowing that you can like something and enjoy it and you can still leave it and go pursue something that fulfills you and fits your purpose.
This is a story that, I mean, that I resonate with and that so many of my guests had happen to them, whether they had a great career and they said, but there's still something missing. This didn't, like you said, give me the fulfillment I thought it was going to do. I need to pivot and do something else that will help me figure out my purpose here, right?
Yeah.
So yeah, I find that this is such a common theme with entrepreneurs particularly, and those of us who pivot from one thing to the next. And as you said, serial accomplisher, like trying to figure out like, what is that thing? And to your point, growing up, I didn't know I wanted to go into marketing and PR, right? And now I've really figured out that I love teaching and I love being a professor. And that's something that makes my heart sing more than almost anything else that I do besides podcasting. But I would never have known that. But I have a daughter who is in high school, and she's known for years what she's going to do. But I think that's very far and few between, and we shouldn't force people to think of those, because most of us don't really know what we're going to end up doing.
Yeah, we don't know what we're going to end up doing. And also the age of our parents and grandparents where you worked in a job for your entire career and you retired in that job is over. That doesn't exist anymore. So the idea that you have to know what you're going to do and you have to stay in that profession for the rest of your working time until you retire, people are more focused on what do I want to get out of my life in the next however many years? And what do I have to give to people? And that might be the entrepreneurial mindset more than anything else of thinking in short-term spurts of our life rather than the full 80 years. And it's also interesting because I still resonate with that recovering perfectionist and serial accomplisher tag, but I don't accomplish any less stuff. I still do so many different things. The difference, though, is that I'm doing them because they serve a purpose in my life, not because they're supposed to solve something I don't want to deal with. And so from the outside, people don't necessarily see that anything's changed. I'm still growing. I'm still pursuing different things. I'm still never content with what I've accomplished, always grateful and never content. And they see me just reaching for the next thing and reaching for the next thing. And they're not wrong. The reason that I'm reaching for the next thing is what makes all the difference, though. It's not this next thing is what's going to make it all better. This next thing is what's going to make it all worth it. It's this next thing fits the purpose for what I want my life to be for the next X amount of days, months, or years.
It can be hard to face that within ourselves. Doesn't matter what age you are. I am a year away from being 50, and I'm still learning every day how to show up as my best self. How to let other people know that maybe this isn't the right job for me. Maybe I'm meant to be doing something else and it has to be okay for both of us. But you really have to honor who you are and where you are at that point, exactly like right now, and grab that. So I'd like to talk about, you talked about how getting to the heights of your career as an attorney, but realizing that you still weren't happy. It hadn't filled that void inside yourself. And I know that you've done a lot of with NLP. I'd love for you to talk about what that journey looked like, going, having that aha moment and going, okay, now it's time for self-reflection. I need to figure out what my next what is for however many years or months or days.
Yeah.
And that seems like it really changed your trajectory.
It did. So I'm going to give you the like 10,000 foot view because I feel like this is basically the book. And so I don't want to take up all of your time. I'll do a high level view and then you can dig in where you want from there. So for me, the height of my legal career, it's interesting because having a conversation with my grandma when I was younger, I remember telling her everything hurts. I'd lost my dad when I was 18. I started losing people in my family at the age of 7. My first experience with suicide came at the age of 7. My second experience with suicide came at the age of 14. My dad died in a work-related accident at the age of 18. So I had three very prominent people in my life that were taken by means where you have a conversation with them and they're there and you end that conversation thinking, we're just going to talk again tomorrow like we do every single day. And then you wake up the next day and that's not an option. Also, in between those years, I grew up in a really, really close-knit family. So on top of the tragic deaths, we had the normal deaths that people experience from sickness and old age. And so I went to 10 funerals between the ages of 8 and 18. And what I didn't realize was happening at the time is that my little brain was learning that people don't stick around. You always have to take care of yourself, that you can never rely on other people. You can never really let them in because people are going to leave. That's the way that the world works. And this is what had kind of been pushed to the side, that I kept thinking all the pain, all of the hurt, all of the lack of self-worth, the questions about why people don't stick around, all the things that aren't logical but are emotional and human to who we are. None of that's going to matter when I have a six-figure income. And the only way that I knew how to make a six-figure income was to be an attorney. I had always loved John Grisham books. I'd always loved the idea of legal thrillers. I loved the analytical side of everything. And I certainly wasn't going to go to medical school. I hated science. It wasn't going to happen. And I was born in the 80s. I graduated in 2000. During that time frame, if you wanted to be successful, it was doctor, it was attorney. Those were the things you were told. So after spiraling after my dad's death, in 2009, I decided to go to law school. I moved to Michigan, went to law school. moved to Vegas after law school and started my career. And the entire time I was doing this, as hard as it wasn't optional to me because I still thought that I was working towards that thing that was going to solve everything. So in 2015, I get my W-2s and it has that illustrious six-figure income in it. And I file my taxes and I am so ready for everything to get better. In March of 2016, right after I filed my taxes, I got sent up to a group of court appearances that were about 8 hours outside of where I live. And it was then that I had my first panic attack and my first anxiety attack. And what I now know is that I had been operating under this illusion that a certain level of success would take away all of the things that I had never dealt with, the trauma, the self-worth, all of those things. But now I had reached that level of success and nothing had changed. And so I didn't know how to operate in the world that I had created because I didn't understand which way was up. So I started going to therapy, and therapy was really great for me in understanding what to do when I had a panic attack. But it was always reactive. It was never proactive. So through that process of looking for anything that I could do that didn't remind me of the life I had built, I started obstacle course racing. I started getting into physical fitness, and I started pushing the boundaries of what I thought I was capable of physically.
Well,
I opened my first business in 2017 and quickly realized that I knew nothing about how to run a business. So I found these sales seminars, and they were supposed to teach me how to communicate better. And they were supposed to teach me how to have more success and be better with money. And they did all of those things. But they also taught me why I was struggling with panic in the first place. They also taught me the way the human brain works and how we perceive information that happens to us and how we can understand that somebody else doesn't see the world the same way that we do. So when we communicate with them, I'm not the enemy. The reality is that I get to step into what they see the world as to have a conversation with them. So this was my introduction to NLP. And I went because I needed to learn how to run a business. Then I'm having better relationships with my family. I'm experiencing more happiness and fulfillment with myself. I'm having these personal side effects that I never imagined. And I'm starting to check back into the person that I was before part of me died when my dad passed away. As I digged is not a word, the attorney in me, as I dug further and further into this science, I saw the immense changes in myself.
Wow.
And as I started to separate my identity from being an attorney and realizing that I'm not Amber the attorney, I'm Amber the person.
Yeah.
And Amber the person has all of these different components that are beautiful and amazing and worthy in and of themselves. And I pour those into the attorney.
Right.
As I started to realize that, then the opportunity to see other career paths started to open up for me. And that's when the coaching business started, the training business started, the book became a thing, the podcast became a thing. And the mission really is just to help people who have tied their definition of success and their identity to this external career accomplishment that they're either still chasing or they've reached and they don't understand why it didn't deliver what it was supposed to.
Yeah.
And how do we like bring the human back in and dial back what it is that we were running from that we thought that career was going to solve.
Yeah. And it could be a career. It could be getting married and having kids.
Anything.
It could be status in through charity work, because I left the workforce after I had my daughter and found myself in the same thing. I instead poured myself into volunteerism and having my picture in the paper at all these events and doing blah, blah, blah. All that stuff. And then when I got divorced, having to sit with myself and not be mom for a minute and like, what do I do with my time? And now I have to look within myself. I have to figure out who I am outside of these constructs. Now other people are judging me because they say, oh, you don't have the same amount of money, so you're not going to be able to do these things. We don't believe you have the status that you had before. So I had to really internalize and realize those are things that I do externally, to your point. But we all build so much hype and value and like let other people tell us, and the validation, right? Other people, other things that we do tell us how we're successful or why we're successful. But then when you take that time to go inside, it's such a beautiful thing. It's so hard and it's such a process. And I'm sure a lot of people listening right now haven't necessarily been through that process yet. Maybe are there in their beginning stages of it. Maybe you're starting your career, so you haven't gotten here yet. But the more knowledge you can have about tools that you can use, questions to ask yourself, to frame these conversations with yourself, the better you're going to be. And you might not have to do what Amber and I are having to do, which is go back and do all this work because you'll have done it before.
Yeah. And to your point of being able to take on as much information as possible and plant the seeds, you know, that's really all we can do is plant the seeds of being able to be a resource for the tools. Because if somebody's what I call I'll be happy when moment, if that I'll be happy when moment is a six-figure income mm-hmm. and they haven't reached a six-figure income, there's nothing that I'm going to be able to say to them that is going to convince them that six figures won't solve their problems, because that's the way that they see the world. Mm-hmm. It's not until they get it and nothing changes, then all the seeds that we've planted and saying these are the options that are available to you, the hope is that some of those have planted to say, oh, okay, I now know that I was chasing this for the wrong reason.
Right.
Look at all these things that I learned, right? Mm-hmm. For a long time, I was so frustrated and I thought I wasted so much of my life becoming an attorney.
No.
And it became, look at how much of a better coach I get to be because I've been communicating with people for the last 10 years as an attorney. Look at the way that I analyze things differently and can help people analyze their problems in a way that they might not have seen it before because of my experience as an attorney. The skills and the resources and the knowledge that we gain in trying to accomplish a goal, those are ours forever. And nobody can take those away. And just because we shift and start using those in a different way, in a different direction, doesn't mean that we start from scratch. We start from experience, right? So for people who are listening, who are still in school, or they are at the beginning of their career, the only thing that I hope is that they get really clear on asking themselves what the purpose is for wanting what it is that they want.
Mm-hmm.
I've never met anybody who says, I want to have a 6, 7, or 8 figure income because they want to carry around a wheelbarrow of 6, 7, or 8 figures worth of cash.
Right.
That income represents something to you. What does it represent? Does it represent freedom? Does it represent success? Does it represent prestige and respect? Does it represent ease and flexibility? What is it that you think is going to come from this wheelbarrow full of cash that you say that you want to make? Because I can promise you all of those things are internal, that no amount of external success is going to create. And so when you reach that, you are still going to have to do the work that you were avoiding doing, thinking that this level of success would make it all happen.
Yeah, that's so true. So I do want to talk about your business, Success Development Solutions, and how you help people through that, because you talked about coaching. I also see your mic in the back next to some beautiful yellow chairs for anybody who's watching this instead of listening. So I assume that's where you do podcasting from. You do some of the interviews from there?
Some of them, yeah. I started doing in-person interviews when I got my new office space, and it's been some trial and error of trying to get everything set up completely properly, and it's still in shifting. So that's part of where we do some of the interviews from. Success Development Solutions was really born because the most powerful question I was asked, and I didn't know this when it was asked to me, was, what does success mean to you? And I remember sitting in my therapist's office and bawling, telling her that all I had ever wanted to be my entire life was successful, and that I felt like such a failure. And she rattled off all these things that I had accomplished, law school and being the first person in my family to go to college and having this like six-figure income and being respected in my profession and all of these things. And then she asked, Amber, what does success mean to you? And I said, I don't know. Like, nobody's ever asked me to define that before. So that's really where we start with everything. And that's why the company is named Success Development Solutions, because without understanding what success really means to you, we cannot build what you want to build. You're going to constantly be climbing mountains that don't make sense to you. So with Success Development Solutions, there's a few different prongs of it. I work as a success architect. I help people really design what life they want to have based upon their definition of success. And I do that through coaching. I do it through training, NLP training, speaking, the book. I have a course that's getting ready to come out. So I'm super excited for all of that. Multifaceted ways, but it's all based on NLP and really understanding the way that we have perceived the events that have happened in our life and how those events have dictated what we want, what we say we want, and what we think we're capable of, and how we think we can achieve it.
Some people like to deep clean every Saturday morning. I prefer to spend a few minutes every day keeping things fresh with Lysol. Lysol's brand new day disinfecting wipes conveniently tackle surfaces, including remotes, tablets, and smartphones, killing 99.9% of viruses and bacteria with a fragrance that feels like a tropical getaway for your senses. Don't just clean, Lysol clean.
At Capella University, you'll get support from people who care about your success. From before you enroll to after you graduate. Pursue your goals knowing help is available when you need it. Imagine your future differently at capella.edu.
Yeah. Yeah. Wow. So your book, Break Your Bullshit Box.
Yes.
How long did it take you to write? What was that process like? Did you just say, I need to write my experience so I can help others? What led you down that path?
I have always loved reading. I've always loved books. And a lot of that creative part of me shut down when my dad passed away. And I had to do the healing to be able to open that back up. The book itself, the actual writing of the book from first word to published book was only about 4 months. The process of deciding to write the book was about 3.5 years. I would start to type something up and then I would rip it up. I would come up with a concept, and then I would decide that wasn't supposed to be my first book. And it took me some time to really narrow down and get honest about what it was that I wanted to be my first work out into the world. I had been speaking for a little bit, and I talked about this compartmentalization box where all of our stuff goes, the box where we hold all of our trauma. And this compartmentalization box is what that level of success is supposed to take away. But in our head is also this bullshit box. And that bullshit box is all the excuses that we've gathered our entire life of why we're not worth having what we say we want, why we can't achieve it, why it's for somebody else instead of us. What are the excuses? My favorite that I hear people say all the time is, I really want to build my business, but I can't network because I'm an introvert. And I'm like, you realize that being an introvert has nothing to do with whether or not you'll talk to people, right?
Right.
All it has to do with is how you recharge yourself energetically when you're tired. And they're like, no, that's not it. Like, I'm not a people person. And I said, well, that's not your introvert extrovert definition. So we all pick up these excuses and we leave that box open. If our compartmentalization box is sealed shut and we never want to share what's in it because we're afraid the world will judge us for it, our bullshit box stays open and all these excuses are available for us to grab at a moment's notice. So the concept of the book is that those boxes need to be swapped. Your box with your excuses in it needs to be sealed, and those excuses are inaccessible. They're complete bullshit. There is no reason for them to be a part of the conversation. We have to acknowledge they exist. You just can't buy into them. Your compartmentalization box, on the other hand, all of the things that we think might bring us shame, that's what makes us human. That's what makes us connectable with other people.
Oh, yeah.
That's what, you know, I could go through my entire life without telling anybody about what happened when my dad passed away, or my experiences with suicide, or my failed marriages, or any of the failing out of college, you know, alcohol. I could go through my entire life without ever sharing that, and I would be completely fine. I don't need the world to know everything about me. But if I want to change the world and impact lives, people need to be able to connect with me.
Right.
And they don't connect through successes. They connect
exactly
through the human. And the human is the stuff that we try to hide the most. So the concept of the book is, how do we start to figure out what our excuses are, to put them in this box that doesn't open until we're ready to deal with them, to be willing to share our story and the human parts of who we are, And to be able to acknowledge how all of that ties into the identity that we've created for ourselves and be able to challenge that identity on a daily basis to be able to decide what we want out of life.
Yeah. Wow, that's really beautiful. I mean, all the work that you're doing now is really tied in together. Does the book have a journal or journal prompts for people to work through? And then you mentioned you're doing a course. Is the course based on your book and what you do with your coaching?
Yes. So the journal is in the works right now. However, there are prompts. And in the book, I invite people to email me for some cheat sheets that I've created. So in the very beginning, there's an email address. They can email me and then I'll send them some PDFs. Mm-hmm. However, there will be a journal that's being published as a part of this. It's still in the works. The audiobook is also in the works.
Oh, nice. So
that'll be coming soon. And then also in the works is Break Your Bullshit Box, Recovering Attorneys Edition. Specific to the legal profession. Although it's specific to the legal profession, the concepts that are in it are applicable to any postgraduate profession where we have just put our head down and dedicated to this result.
Right.
And I mean, I remember graduating from law school and my relationship with my significant other was one of the catastrophes of law school. You know, not a lot of relationships make it through graduate school. And I remember dating after law school and people would ask me, what do you like to do in your spare time? And I'm like, I don't know. Do you know how long it's been since I've had spare time? Like, I have no idea who I am. And so anybody who does any postgraduate work knows what that's like to, and parents, mothers go through this all the time. People don't know who they are outside of being a mother because 18 years of their life has been dedicated to keeping this human being alive, right? So the course itself is called Break Your Bullshit Box Academy. And it really is a deep dive into the concepts of the course. It's 9 weeks long, 9 modules over 9 weeks. It comes with a group coaching component.
Oh, nice.
And an opportunity to really, the idea is that the people that finish the course will have a process that they can use quarter after quarter after quarter for themselves to be able to start to structure their quarter and their years for future years to be able to accomplish what it is they want.
Nice. Yeah, I think that's another thing in today's world. We get so overwhelmed with there are so many options, so many choices, figuring out which ones are the right ones for you because you see other people, the shiny object syndrome, right? That worked for that person. That worked for that person. Oh, I need to be doing this and that. But taking that time again to reflect and figure out what are your goals for the next year, but what's for the next quarter, for the next month, for the next week. Being able to chunk it down makes it seem so much more achievable and manageable, at least to me. So.
And everybody knows what it feels like to say that you want to have a certain result at the end of the next year. Mm-hmm. But because it's not broken down into manageable steps, we're in December and we haven't made any progress towards it because we didn't break it down. And so that's one of the modules of the course is really how to set big goals, set a big annual goal, and then how to break that down into, you know, for example, if somebody wants to make $1 million in 2024, $1 million works out to roughly like $2,275 a day. So if you've got to make $2,275 a day, then you've got to make 30 times that in a month and 90 times that in a quarter. So what are we going to do to be able to make $60,000, $90,000 in a quarter? And how are we going to then be able to analyze that in relationship to our big goal to be able to make sure that we're adjusting quarter two and quarter three with that big goal in mind?
Yeah. And your podcast, More Than Corporate, also ties into everything. So you started the podcast before you wrote the book and before you started Success.
The podcast was a passion project. So it was kind of the voice that I got to share. It was the, and it was More Than Corporate. It's been rebranded to Break Your Bullshit Box with the release of the book. And it was the place that we talked about the identity crisis that we go through. We talked about the challenges. Like, I'll talk to people all the time and they'll be like, I really want to create this new course, or I really want to write this book, or I really want to create this business. But why would anybody listen to me? That imposter syndrome. Okay. And what people don't realize is that the people that you're looking at saying, nobody's going to listen to me because there's this person in the world. Like, Brené Brown is my, I love her. And so like, why would anybody learn from me when they can learn from Brené Brown? Well, what's interesting is that Brené Brown also has hers, right? Why would anybody listen to me if they could listen to you? So if we know that all the things that we're experiencing, the imposter syndrome, the fear, all of that are human emotions that everybody experiences. Mm-hmm. One of my favorite stories is about the great Les Brown. And in his famous speech that he did in the arena, the stadium, I can't remember, like in the 70s or 80s, there were so many people that were there to see him. And the story goes that he was getting ready to walk out on stage and he heard the crowd roaring. And he looked at one of the security guards and he was like, who are they all here to see? And we're like, they're here to see you. And he's like, what the heck, right? And so even the people that we look at and say, but this person's so much further along on the journey, they are also thinking all the same things that you're thinking. They just don't let it stop them.
Yeah. That might be the most important thing that has been said in this podcast episode, honestly, because I think that is where so many people just have that imposter syndrome, don't have that belief. And it's something I talk about when I'm talking to clients on the marketing and PR side is, I mean, everything that you're talking about right now, it's like people want to share that experience. They want to aspire to something greater than themselves. They want to know who the person is behind the product or service that they're going to be paying good money for.
Okay.
And the only way to do that is to be intentional, is to build up trust by showing who you really are, the bad parts, the good parts. Because the story of the overnight success is never about overnight success. There's so much work that's gone into that before. Whether it is going to law school, being the first person in your family to go to college, going on this career path that gave you great skills, like you mentioned, but wasn't the end all be all for you, you know, or any other circumstance that we can think about. And so I really love having this conversation with you and being able to learn more about your story and share some of the things that you're bringing into the world to help others.
Thank you so much. I really enjoy the conversations and being able to really help people understand. Because I think that's the reason that the podcast started, was because I felt so alone. I remember when I started having panic and anxiety attacks and I thought, what kind of an attorney has panic and anxiety attacks? Like, I must be like the worst attorney on the planet because I'm not strong enough to not have panic and anxiety attacks. And when I finally got up the nerve to publish my first blog post about what I was going through, and I put it out into Facebook land, and I waited for everybody to judge me. And instead, I got these comments from attorneys saying, I suffer from anxiety too, or I suffer from panic. And I remember thinking, why do we have to feel so alone when there's so many that are dealing with it? And part of that, almost all of it, is self-imposed. Because I remember talking to my coach recently, and I said, you know, I just think it's really, really cool that this stigma on mental health is starting to lift and people are starting to be more willing to talk about depression and anxiety and all the things that they've talked about. And she said, are people talking about it more, or are you finally listening because you are talking about it more? Like, the conversations have always been there.
Yeah.
You've just never been willing to be involved in them or to acknowledge that they exist because it didn't fit your reality of what the world should look like.
That's one of the biggest lessons from the pandemic, is we all had to listen. I mean, you could choose to not turn on the news. You could choose to not participate. But I feel like that was a real tipping point for people figuring out who they really are, how to live authentically, how maybe not to go beyond corporate, you know, and get out of that and do something that you really want to pursue for the limited time that we have here, but also paying attention to everything else that's going on in the world that we've been able to not pay attention to because we've been so focused on whatever our version of success is, or family, or what have you.
Yeah. And for a lot of people, the forced stay home, it's one of the things that I'm most grateful for COVID. And I know that sounds weird to say that you're grateful for something from a pandemic. There was a lot of awful things that came from that pandemic. One of the things that was not awful is that for some people that were forced to stop working and stay home, it was the first time that they had really stayed home and reconnected with their family in a long time. And I think that's why we're seeing so many people that are having conversations about what they get to do now, mm-hmm. as opposed to what they were doing before, because they got a taste of what it's like to check back in with yourself. We had been on this treadmill and rat race of reaching this success, and we didn't have an option but slowing down. So for so many people now, they're saying, well, I don't want to go back to that. I don't want to go back to sacrificing time with my kids to be able to make a living. Like, I liked being home with my kids. How can I make that happen?
Now, I know one of the ways that people can take control of their life is if you're on Facebook, going in the Facebook group that we're going to put in the show notes. So I'd love to hear more about that. But what is one actionable thing that anyone listening right now can do to start changing that narrative and start really thinking who they want to be and take more control of their trajectory?
Yeah, absolutely. So the biggest thing that people can do is really do a life audit on what, I don't like the word work-life balance, what a harmonious life looks and feels like to them. And once we understand what that harmony we want to create is, because for you, a harmonious life is going to be completely different than for me. And for me, it's going to be completely different for somebody else.
Yeah.
So we can't just say, you know, if I have an even amount through all of the areas of my life, then we're good. Because I don't want kids. So for me, being a mother doesn't have very much on my life wheel.
Right.
Being influential in other areas is more important in my life wheel. For somebody who, like my mom, for example, my mom, all she's ever wanted to be is a wife and a mother.
Wow.
So if you took that away from her, then all of a sudden her life wheel is going to look completely different than mine.
Yeah.
So I have an opportunity, if people go to successdevelopmentsolutions.com/successblueprint, they can download a free copy of what I give my clients when we first start working together. And it's a copy of the life wheel where they can start to get a real picture of where their life is in sync and where it's out of sync. And then some prompts and tips on how they can start to set goals and really hold themselves accountable for those. So that's available on my website at successdevelopmentsolutions.com. And that's really where I would start.
Yeah.
Because without that definition of success, we can't build anything. That's the foundation of what we get to create everything on. And most importantly, being willing to understand that what you do now is going to change. So I have people do their life wheels when they work with me in a group capacity or one-on-one. Mm-hmm. I have them do their life wheels every quarter.
Mm. Yeah, I can see that, because what I thought I was going to be doing in January changed by the time February rolled around. And then I realized now that that's not where I want to be, and that's not my version of success. So I'm still the essence of who I am, but I have such a clear path now to seeing what that looks like to me. And it's not necessarily about the money and the grind and all this other stuff. It's about these other things. So I love that you have people do it quarterly and be really intentional about figuring out who they are at that moment in time.
Thank you. And I will grab that link as well and give it to you so you can put it in the show notes for anybody who's interested in grabbing a copy of it.
Okay. Fantastic. And I'm also actually going to recommend this book to, I'm in a book club that is, it's pretty big. We listen to, it's more of a law of attraction thing, but we listen to books like this as well. And every month the host does like their private podcast with an episode per chapter, so we can all do it together.
Oh, how fun.
And then sometimes we listen to it on Audible if you don't like to read books. So I'm like, okay, you're coming out, your audio version, you're going to have a workbook, all these great things.
Yes.
So keep in touch about all of the that. Goodies. Yeah.
And I'll throw this out, not only just for you, but for anybody who's listening that is in a book club or is interested in it. I've said from the moment that I released the book that the most important thing for me is getting the tools and resources in the hands of people. And so for anybody who has a book club, if you guys read the book as part of your book club and you want to do like a Q&A session or a Zoom call or some sort of a mastermind, like I'd be more than happy to donate my time to come on and have that conversation. Okay, so just feel free to reach out to me if that's the case.
Okay. Love it. Is there anything that we didn't cover that you really want to share that you feel like will really resonate with the audience today?
Oh my gosh, we covered so much.
Really?
I think the biggest thing that I really want people to understand is that wherever you are in your life and your journey right now is exactly where you're supposed to be. That we don't get any further on down the road by beating ourselves up because of what we haven't accomplished or where we, you know, we all thought we'd be in different places by this point in time in our life. And that we get to really just accept and be grateful for where we are in our lives right now and be willing to have the honest conversations with ourselves to be able to create what we want in our future. I feel like that's the biggest mistake that so many people make is that when they go to set their annual planning and they go to set their goals, they are never completely honest about where they're starting from because there's this embarrassment and this should have and this expectation that we put on ourselves. And we can't get to where we want to go if we're not honest about our starting point because we're missing a whole gap of stuff. So just be grateful for where you're at. Realize that you're exactly where you're supposed to be on your journey. And that if it's not where you want to be, that you have all the tools and resources that you need to be able to change that.
Definitely. And Amber, do you have a favorite quote or mantra?
Yeah, it shifts a little bit depending on my mood. I have two that are always at the top of my head, though. The first is, don't give up your peace because chaos is comfortable. Mm-hmm. And the second is Brené Brown's, if you're not also in the arena getting your ass kicked, I'm in no way interested in your opinion.
Nice.
Yeah.
So it just depends on what my mood is.
Yeah. But you got to do the work.
You do. You've got to do the work.
Fantastic. This has been such a wonderful conversation. Thank you so much. I really appreciate you giving your time to us today, sharing your resources and tools and everything that you've learned that will help all of us think about life in a different way, different construct, and figure out how we can really be the best, most successful versions of ourselves for what it means to us, not what it means to the outside world.
Thank you so much for having me. This has been so much fun, and I'm so glad that we can make it work.
Me too. And thank you to everybody for listening or watching this episode of Your Brand Amplified. I'll be back again in a few days with another amazing guest to share their knowledge. Until then, have a fantastic week. Want more? Check out amplifywithannika.com or follow me on socials at amplifywithannika.
Sometimes it takes a different approach to help you unlock your true potential. With Capella University's game-changing FlexPath learning format, you gain relevant skills you can apply to your career right away. Earn your degree from an accredited university and be confident in the quality of your education. Imagine your future differently at capella.edu. Capella University is accredited by the Higher Learning Commission. Learn more at capella.edu/accreditation.
As we close out today's episode, I want to thank Simplified again for making it possible. For all marketers and creators out there, Simplified is your ally in effortlessly crafting on-brand content with design and video AI. Discover how AI can enhance your creative process at simplify.com. Start for free and elevate your content game. Thanks for listening, and here's to your next creative breakthrough.
At Amica Insurance, we know it's more than a life policy. It's about the promise and the responsibility that comes with being a new parent. Being there day and night. And building a plan for tomorrow, today. For the ones you'll always look out for, trust Amica Life Insurance. Amica. Empathy is our best policy.
When your space has the long-lasting, noticeable scent of Airwick Vibrant Scented Oils, it'll be the spot for everyone. From book club to game night, the kids can even host their friends.
Whoa, it smells amazing.
Airwick Vibrant Scented Oils are infused with 2 times more natural essential oils versus regular Airwick Scented Oils for our most authentic, nature-inspired fragrance experience. Transform your space with scents like white sage and mahogany or lavender and water lily. Now that's a breath of fresh air, Wick.
The living room is where you make life's most beautiful memories. But your sofa shouldn't be the one remembering them. The new life-resistant, high-performance furniture collection from Ashley is designed to withstand all the spills, slip-ups, and muddy paws that come with the best parts of life. Ashley high-performance sofas and recliners are soft, on-trend, and easy to clean. Shop the high-performance furniture in-store or online at ashley.com. Ashley, for the love of home.